Good evening, everyone. We do praise God for yet another opportunity just to come and sit under His Word. I really enjoyed the songs of worship we sang today, and I think a lot of it has tied into the theme. It wasn't intentional that I would speak on remembering God on the day that we remember Christ through the bread and the cup. So I just thank God for how He just put it all together, and I just pray that we truly be blessed as we speak on remembering God this evening. But before we go into the Word of God, let us pray. Father, we do thank You for just the fact that You are a good God. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercies, and we thank You, God, even for the sufficiency of Your grace. We thank You, Father, for the many songs that we've sung this evening, and Lord, truly, we do have more than 10,000 reasons just to sing to You on how good You've been to us. And God, as we continue worshiping Your holy name through Your scriptures, I pray, God, that You may soften our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit may help us to understand Your Word and convict us where we need to be convicted. And I pray, Father, that as a result of this, we would show great fruit for You. For I pray this, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. So my title for this evening's message is, Have You Blue-Ticked God? When I first told Pastor Charles about this sermon, the title, he thought it was a typo, because he doesn't know what blue-ticking is. So before I go any further, I'll ask everyone in the church, does everybody know what blue-ticking is? No, all right. So blue-ticking is a WhatsApp phenomenon. Alright, due to blue ticking, many relationships have been broken, many families have been shattered, and as we speak today, there's war in a lot of homes. Blue ticking basically is on WhatsApp when you send a message, once I've received it and I've opened your message, then the person who has sent it gets blue ticks. So the person can see that you have read their message. So, where did I get this idea from? I was reading through Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is speaking to the nation Israel about forgetting God. He warns them that do not forget God. Now, there's two reasons why we usually blue tick people or read their messages and we don't respond. Number one, it's because we just want to ignore them. It's either it has to deal with the person. Or number two, we generally forget. So before I go any further, I'd like to ask us a few questions. And if this has ever happened to you, you can nod your head or you can go, amen, hallelujah. But for the moment, I want you to imagine that this is a confessional and I'm your priest, okay? And I'm going to ask you four questions. It's not that personal, I promise. The first question is, have you ever looked for something whilst it was in your pocket? So you looked for it everywhere in the house, and you looked under the tables, and you asked everybody in the house, and everybody asked you the same question. Have you searched yourself? And you're like, I have searched myself. I know it's not in my pockets. I left it on the table. I swear I left it on the table, but I don't know where it is. And after a few hours, you find out that your phone has been in your pocket the whole time. Anyone guilty? All right. I'm glad I'm not alone. All right. Number two, have you ever forgotten to reply to someone's text 3 days later? Anyone guilty? Alright, if I haven't replied to your text, I'm sorry, alright. I'm usually guilty of this. Number three. Yes. Oh, okay. Alright, this one's a bit sensitive. Have you ever forgotten someone's birthday? Alright, I'd just like to say right now, happy birthday to all of you, in case I do forget. Alright. Number four. Have you ever argued with someone for not responding to your text? I'm usually on the other end. People are arguing with me. Alright, and the last one. Have you ever asked God for something and promised Him long life commitment if He gives it to you? Anyone guilty? Usually during exams you ask God, Lord, if You'd help me pass this test, I promise I'll read the whole Bible 3 times this year. Anyone guilty of that? Lord, if You help me pass my driving test, I promise I'll use my car to give all my friends lifts to church. And then you remember that petrol is expensive. All right, anyway. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. These questions are just to remind us that we're all guilty of forgetting. The only reason why Moses is going to share to the nation Israel about forgetting God is because he knows that they are very guilty of this very thing. And it's usually true of us as well. But the nation Israel find themselves in a very dangerous position. The nation Israel, in this part of our text, they've left Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, and they're at the end of the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. Now, they're at the point where they're about to go into the promised land, the land that God had promised to their fathers. God had promised this land to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and now finally, they're about to experience the beauty of this land that God had promised them. Why do I say this is a dangerous place? Because the nation Israel are about to receive everything they've ever prayed for. They're about to experience blessing as they've never experienced it before. If you read the promise that God makes to Israel, He promises that this land is going to be beautiful. He promises that the food in this land is not like anything you've received before. So the nation Israel are going to find themselves in a place where they are extremely blessed, in a place where they are almost self-dependent because they have everything they need right before them. And this is where God steps in and says, whoa, wait a minute. Before you even go there, I want to remind you that when you experience all of this, don't forget me. I find this is a perfect time to preach this sermon because we've just survived 365. We've survived yet another year. And we're getting into this new year and it's now the 2021st. Everyone has basically started with life. I see some students who are already back at school. Some are coming back. So life is already starting. Usually by the 2nd of January, we're praising God for the fact that we've made it. But by the time everything, our routines are back to normal, we are almost guilty of forgetting God. So this is something I want to challenge us with this evening, that have you blue-ticked God? Are you guilty of forgetting God when you have everything that you've prayed for? So our passage this evening is Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it reads, "The whole commandment that I have commanded you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, and land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the filthy rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, and he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he has sworn to your fathers as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So the first thing we see from this text is the Lord's reminder. We see in verses 1 to verse 5 that God reminds them that, hey guys, remember my guidance from Egypt. Remember guys that when Joseph led his family into Egypt and you were in Egypt, I blessed you whilst you were in Egypt. Whilst you were in Egypt, you grew in number and you were almost a great nation that overcome the Egyptians who in turn turned you into slaves. Even in that process, you cried out to me as your God to bring you someone to lead you out, and I brought Moses. I brought Moses to you who led you out of Egypt, who let you cross through the Red Sea, and I brought you through the wilderness into the land in which I've promised you. We see Asaph speaks about this in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 12. Asaph gives us a picture of what God did for the nation Israel. He says, in the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders. In the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. The nation Israel were witnesses, first-hand witnesses to what God did in Egypt. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the plagues. They saw how God had led them out. So God reminds them of this. In verse 13, he reminds them, he divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the water stand like a heap. Every time I think about this, this is an amazing miracle. The nation Israel walked through the Red Sea and the waters stood on their sides and they could see these mighty waters just standing there as they walked on dry ground. And as the Egyptians came running behind them, these heaps of water fell upon the nation Egypt and they perished. So this is the reminder. And in verse 14 he says, in the daytime he led them with a cloud and all the night with the fiery light. So the reminder to the nation Israel here is that God had led you out, and while he was leading you, in the day there was the cloud, and in the evening there was the fire. The Spirit of God was present with the nation Israel to lead them through this. We call this the Shekinah glory of God. God was with them. So Moses starts off by saying, remember. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness was a dark place for the nation Israel. But whenever I think about a time where we go through difficulty, the natural response for human beings, for you and I, is to press the eject button. But I always think about a train driver as he's heading towards a tunnel. The tunnel is dark and you don't know what to expect in the middle. But you'll never see the train driver drive into the start of the tunnel and jump out. He drives in and goes all the way through because he knows that at the end there will be light. So although the nation Israel wandered for 40 years, God had promised them many times through the wilderness that I will lead you through this. And this is true for us today. So he says, remember my guidance. And he also says, remember my humbling. Mr. Kelvin says this, inasmuch as they were sometimes made to suffer hunger in the wilderness, he proves the advantages of this discipline, because they thus learned that the human race does not live by bread and wine alone, but by the secret power of God. For though all confess that it is through God's goodness that the earth is fruitful, still their senses are so tied to the meat and drink that they rise no higher and do not acknowledge God as their father and nourisher. But rather they bind him down to the outward means to which they are attached, as if his hand of itself and without instruments could not effect or supply anything. Man is willing to say that God is the one who provides rain. God is the one who provides the fruits in the field. But when you've received everything you wanted, it's at that moment where we are sometimes guilty of forgetting God. And this is what Moses is getting through to the nation Israel here, is that number one, in God's humbling, he exposed your poverty. whilst you wandered in the wilderness, whilst you wandered for 40 years, God exposed the fact that you are 100% dependent on me. I'll always go back to the Beatitudes, because even in salvation, God wants us to understand that without Him, we are spiritually bankrupt. We are nothing, we have nothing. Once we realize this point, then we will realize that we are in need of somebody greater than us. And praise God that God sent His Son, who has given us grace, to come to Him as Lord and Savior. So He says, remember, He humbled you and He exposed your poverty. The great thing about God is He doesn't just show you your need, but He fulfills it. And we see here when Moses talks to the nation Israel, he says, and He humbled you and let you hunger, but He didn't leave it there. He let you hunger, and what did He do? He fed you. He gave you manna from heaven, with which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. When we read about manna in the scriptures, it speaks about the nation Israel waking up in the morning and the fields are white. God had provided bread from heaven. So in moments in this year, in this new 365 that God has blessed us with, when things are difficult or when we have forgotten God, let us take some time to stop and just turn back and remember that He was faithful to us. He was faithful to us in the years, even in moments when we were in the wilderness. When things were extremely difficult, God still provided for us. Something that's extremely amazing, and I wish God would do for me today. We see in verse 4, it says, your clothing did not wear out. I mean, this wouldn't work for trends, but they wore the same clothes for 40 years. Their clothes did not wear out. Not only that, but He says, your foot did not swell these 40 years. The nation Israel walked for 40 years. They weren't stationary. They walked through the wilderness, but their feet did not swell. I know of friends who sit in a car for close to 6-7 hours and their feet start to swell up. My mom works night shift and she comes back every morning and her feet are just, I mean, I can't even look at them. And the nation Israel walked for 40 years and their feet did not even swell, because of the faithfulness of our God. Lastly, he says, the Lord your God disciplines you. This is a weird one, but it's a reminder to be grateful for the discipline of God. You know, it's weird to say that it's a great thing to be disciplined by the Father. But we get the same picture in Hebrews where Christ says that He chastens the ones that He loves. So if you're loved by God, you'll be disciplined by Him. And the scriptures say that if you say that you are without sin, then you're saying that God is a liar. So we already know that we will sin and we will require discipline. So when we receive the discipline of God, we are to be grateful. Because it shows that God is loving us and God is bringing us back to a relationship with Himself. So what is the reminder? Two things. Remember my guidance. Remember my humbling. Number 2, the nation's response. We see this in verses 6 to 10. He says, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord by walking in His ways and fearing Him. All God ever wanted from the nation Israel was obedience. All God ever wants from us today is obedience. God says, keep my commandments and I will bless you. Follow me and I will give you the desires of your heart. Seek me first and I will bless you. So He says, keep my commandments. And my favorite one is in verse 10. He says, and you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. So He says, partake of what God has given you and be full. Enjoy it. Enjoy what God has blessed you with. But remember, bless Him. Thank God, for it is He who has provided you with all that you have. You know, when you read the scriptures, you can almost assume that God had beef or He had something against the rich. Because Jesus Christ always speaks about how the rich will not inherit the land. But the only problem about having so much is that it's at that point is when you feel you're self-sufficient. But all God is asking for is that you would depend solely upon Him and remember that it is He who blesses us. So, the question comes back, have you blue-ticked God? Number three, God's reprimand. You see this in verses 11 to 20. He says, take care. This is a warning. Lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules and his statutes, which I have commanded you today. Whenever we get busy, when our schedules get tight, when things start to pile up, who do we usually put on the shelf? Unfortunately, our devotions start to suffer. Our time with God starts to suffer. Sometimes we've seen it through the years, even our attendance in church starts to suffer because we have been preoccupied with other things. Moses here quickly comes up and says, be careful. Be careful lest you forget the Lord your God. How? By not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes that I have commanded you today. We have the scriptures before us, and the warning is, even in the busiest hours of our lives, do not forget what God has given to you. This is God's message to you. He has sent you a text that has lasted thousands of years. It doesn't grow old. God is always online. But the question is, will you be there to receive the text? So he says, be careful that you do not forget. Going back to Asaph, Psalm 78. Asaph gives a similar warning. He says, let them fall in the midst of their camp and all around their dwellings. And they ate and they were filled. And he gave them what they craved. Verse 30. But before they had satisfied their cravings with the while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed the strongest men of them and laid low the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned despite his wonders. They did not believe. One example that's unfortunate about the nation Israel is the nation Israel, time after time, after seeing the goodness of God, after receiving what all the good mercies of God upon their lives, they still turned and served other gods. They still turned and sinned against him. And Moses here before says, guys, I'm warning you, when you are blessed, do not forget God. A pastor once asked his congregation for prayers. His prayer was for a young man, and he says, there's a young man in the church who is in a dangerous circumstance. And he explains what it was. He says, for he had just come into a fortune of 5,000 pounds. He says, there's a young man in the church that has just discovered money. He's just fallen into money. He's got the desire of his heart. And then this is what he says. Then is the time when prayer is needed even more than in seasons of depression and of loss. It's in times when we have so much that we need to always remember to be on our knees before God and thank him and continue praying to God. Number two, so the first warning is not to forget. The second warning is not to develop pride. He warns them that beware that when you've received everything, that you're going to go on and said, I have worked for this. It is my own hands that have given me all that I have. It is because of my resilience that I was able to make it into the promised land. That was the warning to the nation Israel. Do not develop pride. It was nothing of you. It was all of God. So even with our salvation, the warning comes to us as well. Salvation is a work of God. Thank him every day for it. Everything that we have as well in our lives, thank God for it, because it is his work and it is his work alone. So usually when we turn to praise our own hands, the third warning comes up and says, be careful not to turn to other gods. A man once said to me, the moment when we are in the midst of sin, we have forgotten God and are living for the desires of our flesh. Our flesh at that moment becomes our idol. We are endangered. We are an endangered species. Endangered to living for ourselves. And actually the sad thing is that is what the world cries out for. Be the best person that you can be. Success is what this life is all about. And God says, no, I have created you to worship me. And the last warning, he says, the Lord will bring destruction to those who have entrusted in him. He says in the passage here in Deuteronomy 8, if you sin as they do, you shall fare as they do, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. If we continue to sin like the pagans do, if we continue to sin like the world, the results will be the same. Although we are Christians, the Bible makes it clear that the consequences of sin will always be separation. Separation from God. I've said this before, but as a believer, you only separated through fellowship. The fellowship between you and God is broken. Not because God has walked away, but because of your sin, you are walking away from him. We see that illustration in the garden. Number two, if you're sitting here and you haven't trusted God as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I haven't forgotten God. I don't know him at all. Today is your chance. Trust in God this evening. Trust in God to save your soul. And then live for him. For there is nothing better in this world. Let's wrap this up. Verses 17 to 20. He says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to the day, to this day. Sorry, verse 19. And if you forget, warning, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Our reaction. Number one, we need to acknowledge the hand of the Lord. As we go on in this new 365 that God has given us through his grace, we are to remember the hand of God. In three things, his guidance through the Spirit. We heard a little bit about it this morning, but in John chapter 16, read that it is the Spirit of God who leads us. It is the Spirit of God who guides us, he convicts us, and he helps us understand the scriptures. The beautiful thing in Joshua chapter 1, when Joshua is about to take the nation Israel into the promised land, as he's about to lead them and take over from Moses, the Lord God says to him, remember that I will be with you always. We can hold on to that promise as well. The same God who led the nation Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land is the same God who is leading us today. Not only is he guiding us, but he is humbling us. I don't like making this sort of promises, but it's reality. We see it from his word that as a Christian throughout this year, we will be humbled. There will be moments where God exposes our weaknesses. But he doesn't do this to celebrate that we are weak. But he does this to remind us that we are dependent upon him. So in moments when God is humbling us, we are to go on our knees and thank him and say, God, what is it that you are teaching me? May I serve you this year. And lastly, remember his faithfulness throughout the ages. It is a joy for me when I read the story of the nation Israel, and I love to teach on it because I just see the mercies of God over and over again. I see his immovable, his steadfast love clearly through the story of the nation Israel. And this is the same God we serve today. His faithfulness is still true. Something that is beautiful is that my faithlessness does not change the faithfulness of God. Because God cannot deny himself. That is something for us to always remember. And lastly, keep the commandments of the Lord. Asaph will close our service this evening. He says this, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, that the children yet unborn and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Asaph says, let us keep the commandments of the Lord. Don't just keep them, but share them to your children. Share them to your children's children. And tell them of how good God has been to you, so that they will not be like those who have fallen before. So the question is, have you blue-ticked God? And if the answer is yes, my challenge is, let us go back and remember His faithfulness in our lives and let's thank Him for it. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the story of the nation Israel that we're able to see in Your scriptures. We thank You, God, for Your mercy, Lord, which is renewed every morning. We thank You, God, for Your grace, which is sufficient for us all. And we thank You, God, for Your steadfast love in which You have given to us. I pray, God, even as we continue this year, help us, Lord, never to forget You. In moments of difficulties, Lord, let us hold on to the fact that, Lord, You are there for us. In moments of extreme blessing, help us, God, to remember still to be grateful to You, for You are the one who has provided for us. God, let us never forget You. Let us have the zeal and the fire to share of how good You have been to us, to all peoples. And let them know that we serve a living God, a God that is forever faithful to His people. So God, I thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.